In the first part of Parshas Achrimos is the Avoda for Yom Kippur. You can save those topics for Yom Kippur. We'll move to the second part of the Parsha, which is the Parsha of the Arayos, of the prohibited relationships. And there, in Perek Yudches of Vayikra, we have two psukim, which are the source of what is commonly referred to as the prohibition of Negia, or one who is Shomer Negia, as teenagers like to say, that we do not touch the opposite gender, unless it is certain direct relatives, or wives, or spouses, or husbands, whoever the person may be. And therefore, we have here an Isser of Negia. And as high school kids are often to ask, but Rabbi, where does it say in the Torah that I can't high-five, you know, a girl, or a girl to a boy? So, the answer is as follows. It's a pasuk. It says in Vayikra Yudches Vav, Ish, El Kol She'er B'saro Lo Sikrubu L'Galas Erva. The Torah says you should not come close to anything that is Erva. You should not come even close to any type of relationship with such a person who would be prohibited for you to have a physical relationship with. And then it says later on in Pasuk Yutes, Yishav B'nidas T'masa Lo Sikrav L'Galos Erva Sa. Not just a rios, not just a prohibited relationship through a family relative, but also a woman who's a nida. So there also is a prohibition to even come close. So sikruvu legalos eri. You should not come close even to that prohibited relationship. Says the Sifra, also as the Torah Kohanim Parsha Sakharimos, this week's Parsha. Vel isha benidas tumas elusikrav legalos erva. Eini ela shelo yigala. I only know that I should not have the inappropriate relationship itself. Minayin shelo sikrav. How do I should not even come close? Even come close to contact? Tamid lomar lo sikrav. Ein li ela nida bal sikrav v'lo bal yigala. I only know that's regarding a nida. Minayin l'chalaras, any prohibited relationship. Bal sikravu legalos v'lo bal tikravu. Tamid lomar lo sikravu legalos. You shall not come close. So anytime there's a person that you may not have a physical relationship with that person, you may also not come close to touch. Ani Hashem, ani Neman, l'shalom skar. Hashem says, I'll pay you a reward for keeping the mitzvahs. Fine. So this is the pasuk in the Torah, lo sikruvu legalos erva. Not only is the relationship, the act of being together prohibited, but also coming close, even touching, is also prohibited.
So for instance, we're touching. Tikruvu galot, I mean, there's different types of touching.
So touching is touching for now. We'll define touching in a moment, but on its most simplest reading, karov means to come close to touch.
Tikruvu galot is to uncover. So different, for example, let's say...
No. Legalot does not mean here to uncover. Legalot mean here is the act of being together, the act of a physical relationship that's clear from other places.
A physical relationship leading, when I went to teach, a physical relationship leading that may be preparatory to leading to sex.
That will just, for now, let's just say, we'll get to the other Rishonim for now. For now, lo sikru just means you should not come in contact in order to do that. We'll get to the other definitions in a moment. Basic definitions first. This seems to be very clear here in Torah Shebaal Peh. There's a comment of the Avos Rabbi Nassim in Perek Beis, where the Avos Rabbi Nassim says that this is an example of a sayag latorah, a fence that the Torah creates for itself. We know certainly you should not have the inappropriate relationship, but also the Torah says, I'm making my own fence to prevent any possibility, to prevent the physical contact as well. However, there is a contradictory Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel says, in the name of Rav Pedas, the Amar Rav Pedas, lo asra tola ela kurva shogilui, arayos, bilvad. The Rav Pedas says, only thing that's asr is gili arayos. That's the only thing that's prohibited, the actual act. That's what the Torah is prohibiting. And seemingly, he seems to say, that any act of anything less than that would only be asr mi derabanan. So we have one statement in Torah Shebaal Peh that says it's not a Torah prohibition to come in contact with the opposite gender. It's only a rabbinic prohibition. We will touch on that opinion later on. The Rambam writes in the Sefer Mitzvos in Lo Sase Shinun Gimel, and again in Hilchos Yisuri B in Perachof Aleph. We'll quote here from the Sefer Mitzvos. Azhara shizhanu mehilsaneg be'achas mikol arayos. You should not get any pleasure from anyone who's prohibited to you, or afilu b'libia, even without actual relations. Kagon achibuk v'nishuk, hugging, kissing, kiyots v'hen. Any acts which a person gets pleasure from. And this is what it says. Ish ish al kol she'er b'saro. Lo sikrivu l'gal. So everyone was quoted before. Ki'ilu amar. Lo siskarvu aleihem kirva. Do not have a type of contact. Hamavia l'galos erva. We'll get into that point later on. But any contact that will lead to this type of inappropriate relations. In the Rambam's Perish on Sanhedrin, in Perek Zayin Mishnah Gimel, he says that it's Aser, even if it's not a Derech Taiva, but there won't be any Malkus. We'll discuss the Rambam's sheet in a moment. The Ramban argues, the Ramban in his Hasagos, his comments on the Rambam's Count of Mitzvos, he says it's not true. He says that, first of all, why would the Torah is not going to make its own fence? And then he says, what about the Gemara and Shabbos? The Gemara and Shabbos says that Rav Padas says that it's certainly only Aser Midurabanan. It's not one of the mitzvahs in the Torah to not have physical contact. It's seemingly only Midurabanan. And then you'll say, oh, but the Gemara in Shabbos that we didn't quote goes on to argue on Rav Padas. He says, usually when the Gemara wants to bring a strong argument, you'll have statement A, this is his opinion, and then the Gemara will say, cannot be the case, I have a contradictory statement amongst the Tanayim to say why this person is wrong. But that's not what the Gemara does. The Gemara goes on to tell a story about Ula and how he hugged his sister, and it's not really arguing Rav Padas. And therefore the Ramban says that this is only Aser Midurabanan, and he says, at the end, last two lines, he says, Tachol demisani miyisur isura hu ke'in v'chatzi shur. Aval ein ze'ikr medrash belav hazeh. Lo sikr v'l'gal se'er, but does not mean anything more than you should not have relations. But anything doing with contact is only Midurabanan. Elakra asmachta bi'alma. It's only a rabbinic law to not have physical contact. Baharbe me'od came b'sifra b'sipuri b'sipuri. We have many places like this where we have a pasuk that the rabbis use to defend or to raise up their rabbinic law. So we have machos in the Rambam and the Ramban. Whether this is us from the Midrash or Midrabanan, we pass it like the Rambam that physical contact that's going to lead to relations is Aser Midoraisa. This is clear from all of the Achronim after the Shulchan Aruch as well, that it's an Iser Daoraisa. Now, what type of contact, as we mentioned before? There's a tshuva of the Pnei Yehoshua and Chelek Mezen Sinondal. This is not the Pnei Yehoshua of Gemara fame. This is the Pnei Yehoshua's grandfather. And that's why the Pnei Yehoshua that we know titled his Sefer the Pnei Yehoshua Zeira, the small face of Yehoshua, because his grandfather was the big face of Yehoshua. So this is his grandfather. And he writes there that according to the Rambam, it's only Aser if contact is Bederech Chiba. He is the first one really to coin this phrase straight out. That only type of contact that's prohibited by the Torah is Derech Chiba, a contact which is romantic, which is with the intention of something more than just touching the other person. That is the type of problem according to the Rambam. If it's not Derech Chiba, it's not even Aser Midurabanan. Not only is it not Aser Midoraisa, it's not even Aser Midurabanan to have such contact. The Shach in Yardin Kufn and Zayin Yud, he clearly rules that touching, which is not Derech Chiba, is Mutter. He's coming to argue on the Beis Yosef. They're talking about a doctor who wants to check a woman who's sick and he needs to check her pulse or something like that. So he says the Beis Yosef is very wary of such a thing. Oh, men should go to men, women should go to women. The Shach says no, that's not Derech Chiba. A doctor examining the opposite gender is not a problem because it's not Derech Chiba. It's nothing romantic about it. And therefore the Shach says it is not a problem at all. He repeats this again in Kruf Sadi Hei. And Rav Moshe, Igros Moshe Ebenezer, Beis Yedalad, has a very famous tshuva. He wants to know as follows: the davar halicha b'subway uba buses, going on the subways and the buses. Bizman shaholchem b'nei adam la'avodah sam, when people are going to work, shem sam sham anashim b'nashim dechufim zebezeh. It's crowded. Saying New York City is nothing like those videos they have of like Japan when they like shove those people into the trains. That's certainly not romantic. But at least in New York City, shekashim liyizar b'negia udechifah b'nashim. It's not possible you're not going to touch someone else. Imutar lelechus b'shoros elusham. Maybe I shouldn't go to work during rush hour. To brush up against the other person, to be squished against them, is not derechiba. It's not pleasurable. According to the Rambam, we follow the Rambam, this is Isra Da'araisa. It's clear from the Rambam that if it's not derechiva, it's not in a romantic way. So therefore, it's not going to be something that is even asur derabbanan. But first came the shach. We just quoted the shach as well, and continuing the shach to the next paragraph, al kopanim ledina. Talks about one's wife who's in Nida. Obviously, we're going to be more strict over there. But by anybody else, it's certainly fine. It's not an excuse not to go to work. You can't control it. It's going to happen. You're going to brush up against someone. That type of a contact where you're not doing it on purpose, so then there's no issue over there. It's not derech chiba, he says it once again. And then he writes in the last paragraph, it's also not a problem sit next to her if there's no other seat. You don't have to stand up. Sit down. You don't have to stand on the subway. There's no problem sitting down next to the person. The gamkin ain't a derech type of chiba. It would not be derech chiba. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein. Okay? There are those that disagree. We're not going to bring it right now, but you should just be aware that the pre-deo, which is a commentary on the end of Hilchos Nidin, Siman Kuf Tzadi Hey, so he says that it's asur midarabanan. He says, afilu shlo b'derechiva bia, al kol panim asur midarabanan. He says that any contact, even if it's not in a romantic sense, is asur midarabanan. That is a very big chumrah. And also the Ezer Mekudesh. The Ezer Mekudesh is the Buchak Sherav in Evan Ezra and Chaf Aleph. He says that even though it might not start out as derech chiba, but it will could potentially lead to something else that might be derech chiba, and therefore he says you guys should be careful. Even midrabanan, the stechemen as well, says that in cases where there's no necessity of physical contact at all, so then it's also midrabanan, and it should not be done at all. So we have shittas in the acharim, but what we'll refer to as the mainstream poskim, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the shach. These shitas that we generally follow say if it's not derech chiba, there's no prohibition of contact. We all remember many years ago when in the New York Times magazine there was a comment by Randy Cohen, who is the ethicist in the New York Times magazine, who had the famous case of the woman who went to do a real estate contract with a Jewish man, and they went to finish the contract, and he said, "I apologize, I'm not going to shake your hand. Against my religion," and the woman was furious, and she wrote a letter to the New York Times Magazine to the ethicist Randy Cohen, asking if she should tear up the contract, have nothing to do with this man who insulted her. And he wrote a blistering piece saying this was morally terrible. How could a person not shake another person's hand? It's sexist. It violates common decency. And subsequently, in response to his letter, I think that was the most responded to article that the New York Times ever wrote. In response to that, and Rabbi Lamb wrote about it, and Jonathan Rosenblum wrote about it in the Jerusalem Post, and everyone in the world laid on to this guy. I think he even retracted and he apologized for his answer and said that there may be more to it when it comes to shaking hands. So with all this in mind, let's see what the Post can say about shaking hands so we can get to our real question, is swishing seats on airplanes. This is really what we want to get to. But in order to understand the airplane question, we need to understand the handshaking question. So let's begin.
Moshe's tshuva would not address straight out the airplane question?
It will address the airplane question, but we're going to see that there's room to be machmer as well. Okay. Not that I'm advocating being machmer, but those who are machmer do have what to rely on. Let's proceed. There is the earliest comment that we can even fathom that relates to shaking hands is a Yerushalmi in Masechet Sotza. Why? Because the Yerushalmi tells us that the woman who's the sota needs to bring a mincha offering, a flower offering, that needs to be waved in certain directions, and the kohen is supposed to guide her in how the mincha offering should be waved. And the Gemara says very clearly that shouldn't be any interposition between his hands and hers. There shouldn't be a chatzitza. Ask the Gemara, how is the kohen going to touch this woman's hands and move it around? So the Gemara gives two answers. He says, first of all, who may be kohen zakein. Okay, it's an older Kohen who's not going to have any taiva, and he's past his prime, and he's not going to have any Yitzhahara. Or he says, you're going to bring a Yelich Ein Yitzhahara Matzoi L'sha, or you're bring a young Kohen to do it who doesn't have a Yitzhahara at that moment in time. So we seemingly find in the Gemara that one could argue to be Machmer. That seemingly should not be something that's Derech Chiba. And nevertheless, you're moving the woman's hands around, and the Gemara seems to be Machmer in the Beis HaMikdash with a Kohen. Now, the Poskim don't really discuss that so much, but we'll put that on the side as a possible source. But the first source that really discusses shaking hands is the Sefer Chassidim. The Sefer Chassidim says very clearly in Tuf Resh Sadi, Lo Yiska Yehudi Yado Bekaf HaNachris, Lo Nachris Bekaf Ish Yehudi Velo Yehudis Bekaf HaNachri, Velo Nachri Bekaf Yehudis, not Jewish man with Jewish woman, Jewish non-Jewish man with a Jewish woman, all the different combinations of Jew and female and male and non-Jew shaking hands with each other, all of them are problematic. He says, this is a Sayyid Ligilia Rios. To not shake hands with the opposite gender is a fence to prevent Gilia Rais, so says Yehuda Chassid in the Sefer Chassidim. That is the earliest source dealing with this issue. This is cited by the Ben Ishchai in his Od Yosef Chai in Parshas Shoftim as well as the Halacha, and the Mispar HaSofer in Chelek Beis Lamed Dalad says that even though this might cause Eva, it might cause that the non-Jews will not like us so much, so he says that's the whole point. The whole point of these Yisurim are to keep away from people that we shouldn't be hanging out with. So if it causes Eva, and the non-Jews are not going to love us so much, so then, good. That's the point, he says. The point is not to be too friendly. So that's his defense of not shaking hands. The pre-Dea we quoted before says people in business should not shake hands with members of the opposite gender, since this is a form of Kiruv Hadas. Shaking hands is a form of closeness. It's not romantic necessarily, but it shows that there's a meeting of the minds, that we agree on something and it brings people together. This is cited by Halacha by Rechesko Roth in the Cheska Satar and Kuf Tzari Hei, and Rosh Shornbach and Modem Uzman and Mechel Dal and Shinta Zion, and in the Orchos Habayas and Yud Gimel brings the story with the Chaznish, and there was a boy whose father wanted him to shake his stepmother's hand, and the boy didn't want to do it, and the Chaznish said he shouldn't do it, and he defended him, so the Chaznish was Machner there as well. And the stipend, the Krina d'Igrusa in Chelek Aleph in letter Kuf Samach Dal says there's no heter to shake hands. And the stipend says, the stipend was a very moderate, reasonable person. He was a very well thought out person. He was a very big pikeach. And he said that it's not an issue of being a kanoi, of being zealous, if you simply explain calmly that this is what the halacha tells me to do, and it's not meant to be disrespectful to you. So the person should be able to have respect for your wishes and not be offended. And shalom yisrael, no one should be offended if you don't want to shake their hands. It's not because you dislike the person; it's just because this is my personal conduct as a religious Jew. Okay. Next, there's this in the halichos bas yisrael, in the halichos yisrael. So they quote some poskim who say that you should, if you're in a sticky situation, you should blow your nose beforehand so they won't want to shake your hands. I don't know how often you can do that, and I don't know if that's so practical. But nevertheless, we do have a very strong mahalach over here when it comes to not shaking hands. There's more as well. Rav Moshe Feinstein in three chulos, in Or HaChaim Aleph Kuf Yud Gimel, and in Evan Ezer Aleph Nun Vav, and again in Dalud Lamed Beis Tes. And in Dalud Lamed Beis Tes, he just quotes everything at once. He says, "V'davar lahoshit yad la'isha kaderach hanasonim shom b'hafkasham." The idea of shaking hands with the opposite gender, says Rav Moshe, "Vadehu mishum pashut she'asar." It's asar to shake hands, as I wrote in Or HaChaim in one place, and I wrote again in Evan Ezer in another place. This is whether you're the one, certainly not the one extending the hand, and certainly not the one who is reciprocating in an extended hand to you, says Rav Moshe. And I did say over there that those people who have Yiras Shemaim, who are lenient, they think it's not Derech Chiba. And says Rav Moshe, I find that to be questionable logic, that it's not Derech Chiba, that there is something Chiba related in shaking hands. And then he says, and don't tell me about my tshuva, about sitting on the bus in the subway. He says, I'm well aware of my tshuva. And he says, there, that's not derech chiba. But shaking hands, says Rav Moshe, is more of a form of relationship, of understanding of the other person. And therefore, Moshe says, I'm sticking to my point, which is that shaking hands are usur. However, in the Masoras Moshe, which is the notebooks published by his grandson of the conversations he had with the grandfather, so in the first volume, in Evan Ezer Os Nun Ches, he says that there is no problem of a young man going to a nursing home and the older women there, they reach out and they take him by the hand. There's no problem with that, to go visit older people in the nursing home. He says that's not derech chiba. And he says that also, if you need to sell chametz and you feel that in selling lechemes you need to have a handshake as one of the kinyanim, and the only person you're going to be selling chametz to is a woman, then he says you're allowed to shake hands for the kinyan of mechiras chametz. There he would allow it. He doesn't explain why. I guess it's lesser derechiba. He says ideally you should not have been in situations to do that, but he feels that that's okay when it comes to mechiras chametz. In addition, on the list of those who feel it's problematic, Rav Gusman is in the Halichos Yisrael in Chelek Aleph on page Resh Pei Aleph. So he says that we should be machmir. And he says, Rabbanim who shake hands only end up doing worse things. And then he quotes Rav Yisrael Salanter, who said, that Mikra Din, you can walk around without a yarmulke on your head as well, but you're still not pikores if you don't. So, meaning, Rav Yisrael Salanter, his point was, that just because Mikra Din, I can tell you a reason that you can shake hands with the opposite gender, doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do. And Rav Avad Yosef, there's a famous story that when Rav Avad Yosef was awarded Pras Yisrael, he did not shake hands with Golda Meir when he went up on stage in front of all the cameras as well. And they write as well in the biographies that either when it was Carter or Nixon came to visit Israel, so Rav Avad Yosef did not shake the hands of Mrs. Carter or Nixon, whoever was the president at that time, and people got over it. Okay. In addition, the Mishnah Halachos of Menashe Klein in Vav Reish Chaf Gimel says it's usher to even suggest that one should be allowed to shake hands, and he says it's not an issue of embarrassment, and people should just get over it. And he says, first of all, not everyone agrees with the Shach that Derechiba is not Derechiba is allowed, and even the Shach might not have gone this far. And therefore, Rav Menashe Klein says one should be Machmer. The Riva Sephraim writes in Chelet Ches, Rav Sephraim is the Talmud of Moshe Feinstein. He says, even for the sake of Parnassa, one should not shake hands. And the Netai Gavriel in Hilchos Yichud Nun Beis says, even in the face of a possible Chil Hashem, one should not shake hands. Then the Avnei Yashba in Chelet Beis in Peites says, maybe we'll say it's a lack of Kavod HaBrios to not shake hands. And he says, this isn't Kavod HaBrios because Kavod HaBrios doesn't push aside negative commandments in the Torah, and if you feel that this is a negative commandment, so then Kavod HaBrios does not push aside violating a los asay, an isser, from the Torah. Okay, let's get now to the Mekilah. That was all the Machmirim. There are a lot of them, but there are those who are lenient when it comes to shaking hands. The Shuvas B'nei Badim in Aleph Lamed Aleph, that's a Rav Yehuda Henkin in Eretz Yisrael, he says that nowadays shaking hands is not Derechiba, and he says that the onus is on those who are stringent to prove to me that shaking hands is derechiba. He says, it's not derechiba anymore. It's something that people do all the time. It's part of common interacting with people is shaking hands. It's not building a relationship. It's not anything special. It's just what you do when you meet another person. He says, if a person wants to be machmer for themselves, that's fine. But don't tell other people that they need to be machmer and to not shake hands nowadays. There's a comment in the Emes Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Evan Ezer, where Rav Yaakov says that perhaps there's room to perhaps be lenient when it comes to reciprocating a handshake, but he leaves it as a tzarach ian, so I don't know if we can call Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky amongst those who are lenient. And in addition, there's a tshuva from Rav Chaim Berlin, the oldest son of the Netziv, and this is in the Nishmas Chaim in Yerodeus in Kuf Mem Aleph, and he says that if there's a way to avoid shaking hands, so then that's obviously preferable, but if a person feels that they need to shake hands, then you should shake her hand, as long as you obviously have no improper thoughts. He says that the Torah is derachecha darchei noam. The Torah is a way of pleasantness. And then he says that the Gemara in Yuma tells us that our actions should bring kavod shamayim. And then he concludes and says that people should not think that religious Jews are meshugayim and they don't have derech eretz. Right? He writes here in the tshuva we have here on the page. He says, "V'lo yomru al yirei Hashem she'im meshugayim ve'enam bebali derech eretz." Shake hands. We don't want people to think that religious Jews are crazy and we don't know how to act properly in public. I just want to point something out here on the two tshuvas we have in the Mishnah Chaim. You notice at the beginning of the first two tshuvas in the newest printing, which is the one on the bottom right. You see, there's a bracket that is not in the original printing because the printers were dishonest. And they tried to twist the tshuva of Rav Chaim Berlin to say that they were talking about handing something to someone of the opposite gender, but not shaking their hands. So they included this bracket that says, B'mushetas b'prakmatia o'masav amatan b'hartzas hamos, when you're passing the money to them, heim sarach l'hakbid shalol limsur miyad liyad. Should you put it on the counter and not hand it directly to the person of the opposite gender? But that is very dishonest, because they added that in, and they did not tell you that that was the editor's edition, because if you look at the original edition, that does not exist, the bracket's not there, and the later editions, Chas V'Shalom wanted to say that Reb Chaim Berlin was allowing people to shake hands, and therefore they twisted the tshuva to say that it was talking about handing something and not shaking hands. That is total sheker and dishonest, and clearly Reb Chaim Berlin is allowing, if need be, to shake hands with the opposite gender. This is the tshuva that Rav Schechter quotes when he talks about allowing shaking hands with the opposite gender, based on the tshuva of Rav Chaim Berlin. Rav Shlomo Kalbach, not the singer, but the Rav in Germany, who died in 1919, has a piece in the Kovitz of David Zvi, which is written in memory of David Zvi Hoffman, and he says the minhag in Germany was to shake hands, it was proper kavod abrios, and he says this was the minhag in many places in Europe and amongst many Roshei Yeshiva as well. So we say, seemingly do have a strong Masorah. I would say that in America, it seems to be that the minhag amongst the poskim is probably to be more lenient than it is in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if that's a rule, but it just seems to seem to be that way. And the minhag certainly is what to rely on, and to shake hands need be in a situation in a case of kavod abrios and proper derech eretz. Let's now turn to the real question of the evening, which is the airplane. As we know, because it comes up in the news every year, that this flight has been held up, and this flight was held up, and they had to escort this person off the plane, and this person wrote an angry letter, and this person is suing now because some Jewish man, we will not describe the particulars of the Jewish man, but a certain Jewish man requested a seat change, and nobody wanted to switch with him, and they couldn't find the seat, or the person did switch, but they were offended, they were asked, or the person didn't want to switch, and now there was a lot of yelling back and forth in the plane, and it held up the flight for 2 hours because they missed the taxiing spot, whatever it may be. So there's been a lot of discussion about this. So based, now that we have the sugyas in our heads, in our hands, so now let's look honestly at what there is to be said by the poskim when it comes to this discussion. Rav Bezalel Stern writes in the Olecha Bamisachi, he was the posik in Sydney, Australia for many years. He writes in his Sefer in Perek Chaf in Sif Pezayin that you should try and switch a seat if possible if you find your seat is next to someone of the opposite gender. This is specifically a man to a woman. I mean, a man going to sit next to a woman. And if you cannot, then you should try to put something in between you, like the pillow or something, or something in between you, so that there should be no issues. This is cited by Rav Gavriel Tzinnin in the Nisei Gavriel in Hilchos Yichud Perek Mem Vav, and Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachos in Dal Kuf Pei Vav says Mikra Adin, there's no problem sitting next to someone of the opposite gender. However, if you have a choice and you can switch, so then why not do it? Don't make a big fuss, but if you can switch and find another seat, then that would be the better thing. Rav Vosner in the Shevet Alevi in Dal Kuf Amin Vav seems to say that there is a greater Isser and seems to suggest perhaps it's better to stand. Obviously, you can't do that on a plane, but if you could stand, better to stand than sit next to someone of the opposite gender in such a situation. Rav Natan Shlomo Zilber is a Rav in America, so he writes in the Sefer V'Lech Lecha V'Derech in Gimel Beis, which is something very sharp that should be taken into consideration. He writes, "V'nei mitzad halacha pashu shein isra b'davar." He says, "Mitzad adin, there's no isra sitting next of a man sitting next to the woman." Clear, he says. "Ach v'yish ladun isra mitzad hirhur v'alkol l'fiya in." A person needs to know themselves, how their inner thoughts are, and how they think of themselves. "V'lachein im yachol b'kal l'hachlif makom moshavo." You can easily switch your seat without bothering anyone, you should certainly do it. Hashem will help you in your way. If a person is respectful, and a person has derech eretz, and you request a seat switch, so it should not offend anyone or offend her honor. Because the woman shall understand a basic decency of modesty. But he says, make sure when you're doing it, you're mekadesh shem shemayim. If it's going to be chil Hashem, then stay far away from it. Something to keep in mind. Let's go now to the Mekilah. Rav Moshe certainly would not have a problem with this, because he writes in the Tshuva that you can take the seat next to the person. He doesn't recommend standing. He doesn't recommend doing anything else. He says you can sit. Clearly Rav Moshe would allow sitting on the plane. Rav Binyamin Zilber in the Yos Nidbaru, in two places, in Chelek Hay and Chelek Yud, said there's no issue sitting next to someone of the opposite gender on a bus or a taxi, and that would certainly apply as well when it comes to the plane. And he cites a tshuva from Yosef Chaim Zonfeld, the great Rav of Yerushalayim in the Simlas Chaim, depending on the edition, who says that there's no issue sitting next to someone of the opposite gender while riding in public transportation in a carriage, as they had in those days. Says Rav Yosef Chaim Zonfeld, not an issue at all. And he also cites a tshuva that was a shaila that was asked to the Ragachover, and the Ragachover as well seems to indicate that it is not a problem. This is in the Silmas Yosef in Tes Beis. In the Halichos Bas Yisrael, in Parag Zion, he cites Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who says, there's no issue of sitting next to someone of the opposite gender, even if there's another seat that's free. And I read recently that it's also the opinion of Avram Yosef, the son of Ravad Yosef, who's the rabbi of Cholon nowadays. So we have many, many poskim on the Mekilim, and we do also have reliable Charedi poskim on the Machmir. So what does this leave us with? Those who want to sit down, Mikra Adin, almost according to everyone, Mikra Adin, there's no problem at all sitting next to the other person in the airplane seat. If that person is a woman, not an issue whatsoever. Those who want to be machmir, they have reliable Haredi poskim who want to be machmir. But keep in mind that we live in a generation where we are highly sensitive to this issue, and every single time it happens, there's a picture being taken of this, and a video that goes on the internet, and another article in the New York Times, or another article in the Forward, and another discussion about this, and another lawsuit. So we need to be very careful that even though perhaps there's room to be machmir, but as the Mesilas Yesharim writes in Perek Yud, that a person needs to know how his chumras are going to be perceived, and how it's going to impact other people. So, are the people who want to have their seats switched crazy and nuts and out of their minds? No. They have certainly halacha to rely on, but at the same time, we need to know how our chumras affect and treat other people and how they're perceived by the rest of the world.